interview, okay, for this series. I think it's been good. I think people have enjoyed it. Not just enjoyed it, I hope we can always learn something and take something away. And I'm about to welcome up two people who I respect and love a lot. They are friends who were missionaries in the Philippines, through whom we go to the Philippines now for the past, I guess, 3 years, if you include the KM trip. Pastor Dan has spoken a few times. But let's welcome, without further ado, Pastor Dan and Ruth Samunin, okay? So please come up. Please have a seat there. Thank you.
In a coffee cup.
Okay, good.
There you go. All right. Well, our guests, Daniel and Ruth Kim, whom I call Pastor Dan, and Ruth Samunim. Samunim is the Korean word for technically like high person's wife. Kind of, right?
Usually teacher's wife.
Teacher, okay. Or like, yeah, it's like a word of respect. It's a Korean word, but I don't know. I don't know what else to call you. What should I? Pastor Ruth? Or?
No.
Okay, just...
Ate Ruth.
Ate Ruth, okay. So, Ate Ruth. Ate is a Tagalog word for...
sister.
Like older sister. Or younger sister.
No, usually older sister.
Okay, older sister. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, welcome, guys. Thank you so much for being here. They actually flew in from Asia yesterday. So can we thank them one more time for being here? And I know that in the Philippines, Pastor Dan's coming back from a graduation of a class at CCAP, which is, I think they'll talk about that later, but like a Bible, like a seminary school that trains up church leaders and church planters. And a class just graduated just recently, so they're just coming back from that. Thank you guys so much for coming. We'll just get right into the questions. I think these questions should help to explain who you guys are. And again, they're in the Philippines. How many years, again, were you in the Philippines?
Since 1996.
Since 1996, okay.
2013.
So some of these guys were not even born. They don't know that 96 exists, okay? So, wow, 96 to 2013.
13.
Okay, and you speak Tagalog?
Yeah, somewhat, yes.
Okay, and they also speak a dialect, which is called Warai, mm-hmm. Right?
Warai.
So Warai, okay? So Malpai, okay?
Yes.
We'll have our own conversation later. But you guys were not always missionaries. We'll talk about what you did in the Philippines a little bit later. But let's just go to the story. Can you tell us what you did before missions? Maybe each of you could share what you were doing and just what kind of people you were, what kind of dreams you had for life. Just tell us a little bit about what life was like before you went out into the field.
Well, okay, let me start. I came to the States when I was 15. That was long ago, 1974. So you guess how old I am now.
But, how young you are.
I grew up in Maryland and went there from, I guess, ninth grader. So went to the University of Maryland. I graduated with a civil engineering degree in the University of Maryland. So I worked as an engineer before I serving the Lord as a missionary. But actually, I came to the Lord when I was in second year in college. And when I came to the Lord, I had a 200% sure that God would not call me as a missionary nor pastors. because at that time, even then, I was struggled with my stuttering. I used to be a very severe stutter, so I knew that, you know, if you can't speak, you can't be a missionary or a pastor. So that's how I knew it. But you never know. So then the Lord has called us as missionaries. I worked as an engineer for a few years, and then there was calling came 1993 as a serving God as a missionary. But since then, we've been serving the Lord after I graduated from seminary. So it is exciting life. It is. If I'm not serving as a missionary, there is no reason that I'm going to be sitting here and meeting you guys. And one of the blessings as a serving the Lord as a missionary is wherever you go, and there's people who will be welcoming you and meeting the God's people, and that's one of the such a blessing to me personally. Yeah.
I came to the States when I was we're the same age. We were born in the same year in Korea. 1975 I came, so a year later than his family came. I came and I became a Christian. Our family, no one was Christian in our family and an extended family in Korea. But since we came, 75, our family went through a very hard life as immigrants, like especially like your first generation immigrants. Although I was 16, at the time, I had to work part-time as I go to school in high school to help my parents. It was a very hard life, and my mother couldn't handle it, and she was sick, and then that's how we came to know the Lord, whole family. And once I became a born-again Christian, I was like, my life totally changed. Like, how could I not serve God? Once you experience something as a salvation and being in a relationship with, you know, God the Father. So I always wanted to be a, like, full-time minister. Like, so, you know, being Korean, how can I serve God full-time? Either you marry a pastor and you become a missionary. So I went into nursing program in the University of Maryland. And the second year in college, I met this boy that I like, and I decided, you know, he put me. So I said, oh, okay. So we just, you know, we dated, and then I realized, oh, man, this guy don't have a calling. So I had to come to a point where I said, should I go on with this relationship, or should I just back off and terminate this? Terminate the relationship, since this is, you know, this is not what I call for, but I really like them. And I deal with God and say, Lord, he's good Christian. He seems like he really loves you. He just does not have that call. And I understood what he meant by, you know, he will not call me because I stutter. He stutters a lot. So I said, okay, forget it, Lord. I will continue as your child, but I will not continue as the called person as a missionary. So I closed the door. So we dated, we married, we lived pretty much. The question was, what was our dream? To live American dream, to marry, to have a kid, to buy a house, to have a good job, and to go on, and then to serve God any way we can. And lived that life for some years, about 8-9 years. Put our kids to the private school, Christian school, to give them the best education that we can think of. But around 1992, when I went to God for morning devotion, I just sensed this something was coming back up, as if God was opening up the door that I closed. And I said, oh, this is not right. We were pretty much settled middle-class American by then. And thinking about going to mission field was just far-fetched idea. So I said, forget it. But it was coming back very, very strong. And I said, no, it's not right. And then the way I can kill this idea or desire or whatever was to share with my husband, and who will say, without my doubt, say, you crazy? What do you think? What are you talking about? Forget it. What do you mean? You know. So one night I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my heart, but something was coming up. And God was just telling me to, like, opening up the door again. And he just listened in the dark. And he's a man of few words, and he just listened and said, you too? Me too. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is not, I mean, I sort of like wanted to cut it off, but it was just coming back up again, like. And then he didn't say, like, he didn't explain what was going on in his heart. He just said, let's just see and pray what the Lord is going to, how is the Lord is going to lead us. And that was it. And then many months I, you know, prayed and I struggled, and I could sense that God was to keep opening and opening the door. And October 1992, in our church, we had first, like, mission conference. And I knew from the beginning God was redeeming back my calling. But I said, Lord, I don't care what you're saying. Unless you call this man, I can't go anywhere. So that was my prayer for many months. And that day, when, you know, the three-day conference, third day, usually the speaker does the invitation. And I was sitting there, I couldn't hear the words he's saying. I said, Lord, this was my last prayer. Even if you strike me with the lightning, I will not get up here, from here. And when did the invitation came, my husband just stood up and just grabbed my hand, and then he just walked to the front. And that was, for me, it was like a second call. And from then on, our lives totally changed.
Wow. So this was like the speaker saying, like, okay, anyone who feels like God's calling them
you
to the mission field, mm-hmm. Stand up. And you were saying, I'm not going to go.
Unless.
And someone's hand just grabs you, this manly hand grabs you, and you just go with your husband up to the front.
Right.
Wow. And so you guys were, you said you were a nurse.
Mm-hmm. I'm a registered nurse.
And you were
civil engineer,
mm-hmm. So you were doing well.
Mm-hmm.
You had made it, so to say.
Yes.
Those are very acceptable jobs in the Korean culture. They're up there, right? They meet the Korean parent standards, Asian standards, right? They meet the Asian standards. So you made it, and maybe that's why the idea of kind of giving that all up was so crazy. But God spoke very clearly to you guys, and to both of you. That's really amazing. So that's how you guys decided to go. How about this question? Why the Philippines? And what did you guys, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys did there? Who you ministered to, or what was it like?
Yeah, the main decision came from me. I'm from the Lord, through me. Because after we got called, and then I went to the short-term mission in Philippines for 1993, whole month. I was there whole month, and then 2 weeks was okay, and then the last 2 weeks we were assigned to the certain areas in the town, and then were leading the Bible study for the group, whatever. But I stayed at one of the deacon's single guy's house, and was not, the food was somehow wasn't disturbing me, so I had a really difficult time for the last 2 weeks, for final 2 weeks. I had diarrhea, I had some fever. 2 weeks, I think I lost about 15 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was really not doing well, but anyway. And one of the on Saturday, I remember there was a missionary a Canadian missionary couple who are doing a ministry in one of the small village there, in the, we call it Barangay. And I just followed them and to observe what they were doing. So on, it was on a Saturday morning, so missionary were doing, the man was doing the like the Bible study for moms, and then the lady, the wife, was doing the like children ministry for the kids. So I was just, you know, observing there. So sitting, I was sick, I'm not feeling well, I was, you know, it's hot up there. It was, a summer. And the land we call Samar. And then suddenly, I heard this strong voice, you know. I don't know, I think definitely was strong voice. It said, "Daniel, this is your home." So I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm not really sick." I'm hearing this weird voice now. Oh my gosh. And then three times it was that. "Look, Daniel, this is your home. Daniel, this is your home." And then after the third time, I felt such of a peace in my heart that I never ever felt. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I knew that at that moment, God is calling us here in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Because before that, I never heard of land of Samar. I never heard of a people called Waray-Waray. So that's where I was, and then that was the, and then I knew. So after it came back to States, then I was like, while I was, you know, driving on the highway, I could hear the children's laughing in my ears, and then even in Philippines, usually during the evening, they burn the bushes, the trees, in a way to chasing away the mosquitoes, you know, dry trees. I could smell that, you know, the burning trees like that, in the while I was driving. And that's many other things that I knew that somehow the God is calling us to the Philippines. Wow. That's all.
That's amazing. So it sounds like your calling to the Philippines, to missions, was very clear. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's something we should, I mean, maybe not everyone's called to like go overseas, but I do feel like everyone's called. Yes. And maybe like that's something I'm encouraged, because I feel like we don't pursue that often. You know, we just kind of live life, you know, but it sounds like, at least for you guys, like there was a very clear calling on your life. And I don't know, I feel like God has that for everybody. So that's really encouraging. That's awesome. And you guys were in the Philippines then for... I'm sorry, so 96, how many years is that exactly?
17 years.
What did you guys, you're with the Waray people, and I know that, you know, after having visited, man, the churches out there are beautiful. The people out there, it's such a great picture of what the gospel can do. The good news of Jesus, Jesus' love, how powerful Jesus' love is, God's love is. To see how serving, how mature, you know, and I share this every time we come back. When we go there, we know we have much more than them financially. We have more resources. We have more maybe technical skills, all these things. But in terms of just quality of life, maturity as human beings, emotionally, spiritually, like I'm always extremely challenged. And by people who are often much younger than I am. And they are people who are so mature, who have joy even when life gets very hard. Whereas we in America, when the smallest things happen, we can't have such a hard time overcoming them. These are strong people. I think maybe naturally because of their culture, but I also believe because of the gospel. And we see the difference. We see how they've been transformed, how selfless they are. But I know that it was hard, and it was a lot of work. How was it? Like, was it hard for you guys as a couple? Just tell us a little bit about life there, ministry life, just living there in a completely foreign land. Fun stories, hard stories. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's hard to like sum up the whole 17 years in like a setting like this, But if I just reflect on what you just said about how people be more mature and all that, I would say I rather use the word simple. Life is much simpler there. And when there you are simple, God is, in a way, more clear. Mm-hmm. God is more evident in your life. Example, like when your kids get sick in the Philippines, especially in the jungle areas, when your kids have a fever, you don't have a doctor's go to, you don't have a whole lot of medicine to give to. What you do, you just pray. Mm. And you pray, and oftentimes children be healed. Mm. So life situation like that makes people, like, we don't think about, that's the first thing I realized lately. I don't pray for water, rain. In the Philippines, I had to pray for rain almost every day because we depend on the water, rainwater to live. And I realized after living here for a few months, and I look back and say, my goodness, I don't pray for the weather. There back in the summer, I had to pray for weather. Whether it's a sun, whether it's rain, I have to pray for the weather. Because everything, especially for the water, we totally depend on the rainwater for a few years. So life is much simpler in a sense, and God is in some way a little more clear and closer in the situation like that. Yeah.
I think it's easy to forget that God is the one who provides.
Yes.
Because we think that it's, you know, the water company or, you know, electricity company, or it's our boss, right? The Philippines is in Samar.
Yes, everything.
It's just.
It's all related to God. Mm-hmm. Everything related to God.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, were you going to say something, Pastor?
No.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about life there, though. Mm-hmm. Like, can I ask? I feel like a lot of people wonder, like, how was it for you guys as a couple and as a family? So I know that you had both your children were there, right?
Yes.
For several years.
We have a daughter who's now 31, but she was 9 when she arrived in the Philippines.
Wow.
And our son Noah was only 4. So I had to homeschool them at home. So it may not be a great news for you guys who don't want to be homeschooled, but I had to homeschool the kids. Something as a mother, something that I had to really struggle with God to trust Him and depend on Him. Because you know how most Asian parents are. You want to put the kids to the best school, give them a best education, best whatnot. We have nothing. We had nothing. We didn't have even internet was not available at the time. No library, which our kids loved going to library back in the East. So everything was not, in a sense, optimal, but I had to trust God. The time when God has encountered me a couple times before we went out, and I have to always go back to that calling, said, it came from the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10, my grace is sufficient for you and for your 2 children. I received that words before I went out, and I always have to go back. You know, you're just worried about them. Mm-hmm. What if, I have this inclination all the time in the back of my head, I am messing up my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm messing up my kids. And so we had a school in the morning at 8 o'clock. We prepared a little room. This is a school. And we even gave the name to the school. Our first child's name is Sophia. Our second child is Noah. So the school became S-O-N-O, Sono Christian School. So that was the name of the school. So the kids will go to school at 8 o'clock. After breakfast, they come to the school room. And then once in the school room, I become Mrs. Kim. And don't call me mom. And I'm a Mrs. Kim. And I'll teach the kids, usually up until like 2 or 2:30. And every Monday morning, we have a chaplain named Pastor Daniel Kim. He will come and he will do the worship with us. He will lead the worship for chaplain's, you know, chapel service. So we did that. The Noah will not go into that room even during the weekends. And so, how come you don't go to the room? I said, that's a school. I don't want to go there. So he will just in the school during those school hours. Never go back to the room.
Yeah.
So that's how we raise the kids. But the thing about the God's grace is that when we think about mission, you think about going and preach the gospel all the time, doing that. But actually, we realized our family was the gospel to them. Philippines, especially in our area, a lot of people cohabitated, meaning without being legally married. Almost like 40% of our population never been married. They live together. Because Philippines, there is no divorce available. It's a Catholic nation, so in order for you to go through the break up the husband and wife, you have to go through something called annulment, meaning you never been married before, kind of thing. So it's very hard to go through with that. And in order for you to even go through the marriage, you have to go through papers, a lot of things. So people just live together. And when they don't like each other, they split. They just live with somebody else. And so there's a lot of family issues, a lot of social problems. And to live as a husband and wife and two children under God's grace, we realize our family became gospel to them.
I see.
Yeah.
And that's like a beautiful picture of just how we also, just by loving each other, and I'll let you continue, but I've met at least Sophia, and I know, like, I feel like a stereotype is missionary kids or pastor's kids. A stereotype can be that they're kind of mad at their parents. You know, I hope my kids aren't mad at me or whatever. Or, you know, because it's such a hard life. And it's a huge sacrifice, I think, for the whole family. But it sounds like maybe one way that you guys made it work, because it looks like Sophia really, really enjoys you guys. And I know she's at Talbot right now, you know, studying spiritual formation, just like mom. Which to me speaks a lot. And it sounds like how you guys kind of made that work was just to make sure that ministry wasn't just going out and doing stuff, but it started by showing it at home, by loving each other. Is that kind of, would you say that's true? Or
it's really, some people ask us, like, how did you do such a good job raising your children? I have no answer, because there's no formula, there's no one, you know, if I can tell people like, 1, 2, 3, this is how you do it. I don't know. But I guess they just saw us, our life. So if you just lived your life, the children usually, I don't think the children do not learn by listening to the parents, like, this is what you need to do, this is what you're not to do. They just catch it. It's not something you tell them, but they just catch it the way we live. So we're not a perfect parents, but we try to obey God. So I often tell myself, don't worry so much about how to become a good mother, good father, but worry a little bit more about how to become a children of God. So it's not so much about parenting, you're parenting your kids, but how are you going to be parented by your father? So I think we did focus on that, how to obey God, how to be a good children to father, and our kids just follow along with us, in a sense. So I don't have the whole lot of answer to that question.
Well, that's great. That's great. Yeah, a couple more questions. Maybe this could be for both of you. You gave up, one could say you gave up a lot. You know, career, nice home, opportunities for your kids. Was it worth it? And would you, if you had a chance to do it all over again, would you do it again? And why, for either answer?
Yeah, I mean, when I was called to the missionary, I thought myself, man, my life is over. So, in Tagalog, tom patay na.
Tom patay na?
Patay na.
My life is over. I mean, you know, as an engineer, I not just work, but I love sports. I love basketball, I love the tennis, and I enjoy golfing when I was working as an engineer. All these things is gone now. You know, that's what I thought. And yeah, definitely wasn't easy for us to say goodbye to my loved ones, families and friends. Been there for more than 20 plus years there in the States, and there in Maryland. But when I come to think of it again, as I will be 60 this year, you know, if I start all over again, would I do it? And I 100% sure that I will serve the Lord as a missionary. It's such a blessing life. We don't owe any property, but look at us. Do you think that we are unhappy or happy? yeah, I mean, it's amazing experience. Not only God's grace in your life, but to meeting the wonderful people. Yeah, that is one of the blessings. I've been traveling. I just actually traveled last whole month. I was in Thailand for a week, and then in Seoul for 2 weeks, and then the Philippines for 1 week. And the last year I was in Vietnam, the Hanoi and the Ho Chi Minh City for about a week as well. So I do travel a lot, and because my position now is serving as the national director of our mission agency. But wherever I go, I'm meeting these people of God, which have absolutely no relation to me, but because of what I'm serving as the Lord, Lord bless us with the meeting such a good people, and to get to know them, and to able to experiencing the His care, and building up the relationship with them is such an honor and such a blessing. So. I used to thought the calling was just as supposed to be just a missionary or pastors. No, it's not anymore. I believe the calling in engineer, nurses, whatever that you do, it is called. And you're supposed to be a salt and light of the community or places, wherever God put you there, you know? And so that's what I believe, but it is amazing life as serving God as a missionary. So if God has called you as missionary, I tell you, man, go for it. Go for it. You will never regret it. So that's probably what I would say.
That's awesome.
I think one of the bigger or biggest blessing that came to us to walk in this called life is to, I think it's definitely happened in our family. Once you lived in a mission field, it's a strange land. You don't have a whole lot of family support. You only have four people that you are most close to, which is the family. So the family becomes very prominent in your life. So we became much, much closer, in a sense. We had to work out a lot of issues that we had that we never knew before back in the East Coast. It was messy in the beginning, but we realized that, oh man, we do have a, we are not the people that we were thought that we were. So we had to work that out. And even the children, all our children's younger age informations had to come from us. So in a sense, they were not tainted by the what they would hear from outside, especially when it comes to sex education, when it comes to the relationships. All those were taught and shared by us. So in that sense, their education was grounded by the parents. So I think that's became the greatest blessing for the children. And one more thing that I can think of, the pinnacle of the blessing was in the States, we were in the good church. So we had a lot of support from people, from pastor. We had small groups and big groups and whatnot. But once you move to the mission field, you're totally alone. And we realized now you deal with God alone. That become the greatest blessing, actually. It was very hard in the beginning. I wish I could run to my pastor whenever I had some trouble or something. But you have nobody. So either you run to each other or run to God. And almost feel like there was the umbrella. We had some kind of umbrella over us. But that was completely removed. And you had to deal with God directly.
Right, right.
So that became the, in a way, biggest blessing in our lives.
Let's go straight to God.
Go straight to God and deal with Him. I'm not saying the church is not needed, but in that situation, we had not a whole lot of people that we can rely on, especially in the beginning. So you learn to deal with God more directly, more simply in the situation.
Well, thank you guys so much for sharing. Can we thank them for their time to share? I see like a theme is just, I mean, you know, I think when we think of our callings for all of us, there's always the question of, or that temptation to just do what's comfortable, what might feel better. But I think the theme that we've seen throughout is when we trust God, He blesses us. And you guys are a great testament of that. Thank you so much for all you guys do and what you've done. Just being good mentors and friends to me. And our church. One thing I want to say to you guys, just as a, before we end our service, we will be going on short-term missions, and although, as Pastor Dan said, not everyone has to go on missions to obey God's call, but I think it's a great way to just learn. If you are being called, it's a great way to be, you know, maybe hear the calling a little bit more clearly, and it's just a great opportunity. And so, if you guys are interested in our summer program, the dates and all the details are like 90% solidified. But I do want to have like an interest meeting today. If anyone's just like, hey, I would be excited just to at least hear what's available and if it's even possible for me to come. Right around 1 o'clock, after we finish lunch, I want you guys to meet me. We can meet in room 4 in the EM office. And we'll just talk and we'll just see like where you guys are at. And if anyone's interested in participating in the summer missions program. Okay, yes?
Is it open to the youth?
It's open to the upperclassmen for youth, so juniors and seniors, okay? So younger folks,
You will either have your own mission with the youth, or you can just wait a little longer and just get more and more eager for that time. Okay? So 1 o'clock, between 1 and 1:15, this lunch is crazy. Room 4, yes.
Would Chian be allowed to go?
Chian, are you an upperclassman?
She's an R-H.
Okay, we'll talk about that. So Chian, if you're interested, you can come in, okay? So Chian is in a unique situation. Let me pray for us, and then we'll close our service, okay? God, thank you for this time. Thank you for Pastor Dan and Ate Ruth and just their lives, their story. I know there's so much more, God, but thank you for this little nugget that we could take away, these gems. I pray that all those blessings that you put in their lives, the wonderful things you've given them, that we could have received it today as a way to trust you more and love you more, God. Lord, we pray that more people would see how good you are.
Yes.
Starting in this room, Lord, even us, even in me, we believe in more and we would follow you, not out of duty, but God, because you are God, you are the lover of our souls, you're a Father, and Lord, there's no better place to be than me walking right next to you, right with you, God. So we love you, Lord, and help us, God. Lord, bless the rest of our day. Give us love today for each other. Let your gospel be displayed in this place. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Let's thank them one more time. Thank you guys so much.
Wait a minute. Literally like